For Lingua Franca, I'm Maria Zylstra, joined today by Dr. Felicity Cox, a speech scientist with the lowdown, the gen, the good oil, if you will, on a project called AusTalk that was launched on Australia Day a couple of months ago. So where's it up to now, Dr. Cox?
We're at the recruitment phase at this point. We've been busy building the infrastructure to be able to record people from around the country. We're going to be recording speech from over 1,000 people from right around the country. So we need to have 17 different locations, and we have to have an infrastructure that's standard for each particular place. So we have to build a number of different facilities, essentially, and have those shipped all around the country so that everyone's being recorded in exactly the same way at each place.
But people are volunteering to take part, isn't that correct?
That's true. People are volunteering, so we wanted to give people quite a bit of lead time, and we will start recording as soon as possible, hopefully towards the end of April.
Great.
And in fact, each one of those participants will come along to the recording session three times on three separate occasions. So they will do a particular set of tasks for 1 hour, and then they'll come back on another day and do another set of tasks, and then come back again to do a third set of tasks.
So could you then very briefly, if it's possible, because I know that it is a little bit complicated and I don't want you to leave out anything that's really interesting, but just tell what speech samples are going to be recorded, because there's more than one sort, right?
Yes, there's a whole range of different speech samples. People will be recorded in a number of different formality contexts, if you like. So they'll be doing some simple reading some words from a computer screen. They'll read some sentences as well. But they'll also read some passages and then retell a story. So they'll read a passage and then they'll retell that story in their own words. They will have a conversation with a researcher, like an interview-style conversation, where they'll tell the researcher something about themselves. And then the other thing that they'll do is a fantastic interactive game where each participant is given a map, but the maps are slightly different. And they have to negotiate their way through the maps without seeing each other or seeing each other's maps. So it's a great task. And it gets great speech from people, really natural, interactive sort of dialogue speech.
Yeah. Well, I've read a bit of your planning research, and I know that in that game, one of the things that you're hoping to elicit and get a good record of is all the kinds of words that people use when they're closely correlating something with each other, like yeah, yep, no, not quite, you know, all those kind of little words.
That's exactly right. The map task is a wealth of information for all different kinds of linguistic research. So yes, it does have those kinds of confirmatory type expressions, and those are very, very useful for forensic analysis. So the great thing about this project is that it's to build a corpus of Australian English speech data that can be used for a wide range of different practical reasons and practical applications. So for forensic analysis, for automatic speech recognition, for hearing aids, cochlear implants and so on, for computer applications, for human-machine interactions, all kinds of things like that.
Voice authentication as well.
Yes, of course.
More and more our everyday life tasks, paying bills and so forth, ordering bits and pieces, take place with interactive digital technology.
Definitely. And you very often hear synthesized speech, or the computer is actually trying to recognize your speech and trying to understand what you're saying. So there's very good reason to have good Australian English speech modeled for these computer applications, so that the machines can actually understand Australian speakers. I mean, we very often use technology from overseas, technology from the US, or based on US samples, based on British models, and these are not really very valuable in the Australian context, because we know that Australian English speakers speak differently from British English speakers or American English speakers, or indeed foreign accented speech.
Yeah. Just getting back then for a moment to those different kinds of speech samples that are going to be recorded, you're hoping by recording people talking in different circumstances and for different purposes, you're hoping also to capture what's called style shifting. in this way. Isn't that right, that people talk in different ways in different circumstances?
Yes, exactly. Style shifting is a really interesting phenomenon. People, when they're producing speech in a formal kind of way, they're more likely to monitor their speech, and they're more likely to produce speech that's more careful, more precise, more or closer to a prestige kind of a model. But when they're producing unguarded speech, when they're not thinking about their speech, when they're doing something else, for instance, if they're doing the map task, they're thinking about what they're saying rather than how they're saying it. So we're getting really good quality unguarded speech, conversational speech, and that can be quite different from formal speech.
Right.
So if a computer is going to be trying to understand what you're saying, that computer needs to be able to understand formal speech, but it also needs to be able to understand conversational, unguarded speech. And those two things can be quite different from each other.
So, Dr. Cox, just on who is being recorded in this big new Australian speech corpus, you're recording in different places around Australia, so there's a regional difference, and presumably you're going to be looking at an age cohort difference as well as maybe an ethnic background difference?
Yes, we will be collecting from younger people, middle-aged people and older people. And this is a really valuable exercise because it gives us information about how the language is changing, how speech is changing. Because the young people are the people who initiate change in language. So their speech will be different from the older people because they're using a speech that was much more present in the community at an earlier time, because accent is all about place and time. So we'll be getting information from people from all different ages, and also there's always this idea that there's a big difference between the speech of people from the country and the speech of people from the city, but actually we don't have any firm empirical evidence to suggest that that is really the case. So this will be a great opportunity for us to find out, because we'll be collecting from major centres, major cities, but also from some rural centres as well. And so we'll be able to tap into that difference if it is indeed there.
Why only people who've received all their formal education in Australia? Because won't that exclude a good proportion of the population?
Yes, that's a very interesting question. And it's something that we have actually agonised over.
Tell us about your agony.
Our agony is that in Australia we have 21 or so million people, and 25% of those people were born overseas. Now, Australian English is a technical term, and it can be defined as the speech of people who have been born in Australia, or who have had all of their education in Australia. People who have been raised in the Australian context. Those are people who speak Australian English. Now, of the 25% people born overseas, a lot of those people will speak Australian English as well, because even though they were born overseas, they arrived in Australia early enough to be able to have all of their schooling in Australia. The other people who have come from overseas will be speaking a language or a dialect of English that is not Australian English. That's a foreign accented or a different dialect of English. So for this particular project, we are specifically targeting Australian English speakers. And further down the track, after this project's completed, then we'll be able to tackle the other groups of speakers in Australia, people who speak other dialects of English and people who speak foreign accented English. Now, having said all of that, of the 80% or so people that do speak Australian English in the community, a large proportion of those have parents who were born overseas. 44% of the population in Australia were born overseas or had at least one parent born overseas. So that's a very large proportion. So of our 1,000 Australians that we'll be recording, a great number of those have parents who were born overseas or who indeed were born overseas themselves. And so we will be able to tap into some of those ethnicities, if you like, and ethnic varieties. So Australian English is a multicultural dialect. It can be divided up in broad categories into what we call standard Australian English, which is spoken by the majority, Indigenous Australian English, spoken by the Indigenous population, and ethnocultural varieties of Australian English. And the ethnocultural varieties are quite new varieties in Australia. And in the past, any ethnocultural type of variety was not considered to be an Australian English variety, but a foreign accent, a foreign accented variety. But now we have Australian English ethnocultural varieties, they're sometimes called ethnolects, that are Australian English, spoken by Australian-born people, but people who have a different heritage, a different cultural heritage. And they use their particular dialect as an expression of their ethnicity within the Australian context. And it's a really fascinating area of research.
Well, are there any particular latter-day changes that you can tell us about?
Well, one of the very interesting changes is the rise of the ethnocultural variety. And it's very telling about our culture. Look, Australian English is quite a new dialect. It's only been around for just over 200 years. It began in the early days of the first European settlement. And it's now what we call a codified variety. So it has its own dictionary. It has its own way of being represented in a standard kind of a way. And once a dialect reaches that stage of maturity, it then is free to develop more variation. And so what we expect to see in Australian English is a greater amount of regional variation and a greater amount of social variation, and also we're seeing this through the ethnocultural varieties. So I think what's happening with the particular ethnocultural varieties is that some of the characteristics of the parents' language are transferred into the Australian English dialect of the children. So it's not that they're speaking the foreign accented variety that their parents are speaking. It's that they've created a new dialect that has features of both. So in a sense, it's kind of an interlanguage in a way, because it does contain features of both. And so it's reflective of both cultures. And that's actually very fascinating from a sociological perspective, but it's also incredibly fascinating from a phonetic perspective, because the specific characteristics of the parents' accents and dialects that are transferred into the Australian dialect.
Can you give an example of that?
I can try and give you an example. One of the dialects that I'm really interested in at the moment is Lebanese Australian English. And I'm looking at specific characteristics. So I'm looking very carefully at the acoustics of the sounds and the vowels and the consonants. And one of the features that myself and my colleague Sally-Ann Pauself have identified relates to the rhythm and the syllable structure of Arabic being transferred into Australian English. And a lot of our speakers in our research are first language speakers of Australian English. So they're not actually speakers of Arabic. They might speak Arabic occasionally at home, but their first language is English. So this is an interesting phenomenon, because it's something to do with the transference of the parents' accents and dialects into the Australian context. And it relates specifically to syllable structure, not to the individual speech sound. So it's what we would describe as a higher order prosodic influence. So that relates to the rhythm and the intonation and the meter of the language.
Things that we don't pay anywhere near enough attention to when we think about language.
That's right, exactly.
Dr. Cox, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Maria.
Felicity Cox, whose big thing is vowels in Australian English, is based in the Centre for Language Sciences in the Department of Linguistics at Macquarie University near Sydney. And if you'd like to volunteer to take part in that fantabulous project called AusTalk, you can register yourself at austalk.edu.au or look for the link on the Lingua Franca webpage for this program via abc.net.au/rn/linguafranca. I'm Maria Zylstra. Duch!